From KCRW, I'm Evan Kleiman, and you're listening to Good Food. I want you to close your eyes for a minute. Unless you're driving, then please don't. But if you're sitting comfortably, close your eyes and imagine the landscape of Los Angeles. Before there were buildings, before there were orange trees, imagine a landscape covered in grapevines.
Everything from Temecula North all the way up to about the Central Valley. Believe it or not, prior to the citrus groves going in, vines were one of the primary things. You know, I mean, Koreatown exists right now in a place where would have been covered by vines. Malibu, a lot of the canyons in that area would have had vines covering because it's pretty much the only thing you could grow there. A lot of the flat areas going out in the San Gabriel Valley were all vines. I mean, as far as you could see. And a lot of that would be made not just to make wine, but also to ferment into a brandy or spirits or things. You know, people drank a fair amount back then, so they needed alcohol.
Southern California may be famous for its citrus orchards, but before this region was known for its lemons, limes, and oranges, it was known for its grapes. Los Angeles was once home to several thriving vineyards that were well known for the wine they produced. Although LA's winemaking history hasn't received much of a spotlight, a handful of winemakers are doing their best to revive it. Filmmaker Jason Wise documents this revival in his 27-minute documentary, The Oldest Vine. Hi, Jason.
Hi, thanks for having me back on.
Your film is called The Oldest Vine and refers to a grapevine that's growing at the San Gabriel Mission. How did you get interested in sort of delving into the history and the history of winemaking in L.A.?
The history in Los Angeles for wine is, they were almost inseparable pre-Prohibition. I mean, the original crest for Los Angeles had grapevines on it, had grape leaves and vines. It was, you know, it was so associated with the city. In fact, Los Angeles had more vines than anywhere else in the country pre-Prohibition. So before Napa and Sonoma and Santa Barbara and even the East Coast, Los Angeles was the center of wine. So when I found that out, I became obsessed with the idea that this was the case. And I'm living in the city and had no idea.
So let's talk about the eponymous vine, the oldest vine. Tell us about it. Do we know how old it is? Where is it? Who cares for it? What does it look like?
This vine is as big as a large tree. You can't wrap your arms around all the way around it. And this one vine covers the entire mission in San Gabriel. So it covers the whole back, all this trellising. So approximately it was planted just about the mid-1760, 1770. So, you know, this dates back before the United States was even a country. And it was part of two empires and two countries.
The survival is kind of fascinating. Was this vine one of the original ones that was planted by the missionaries in the 1700s, or was it spawned from a quote, a mother vine and came along later?
Well, so here's the crazy thing about this vine. It's a hybrid. So all the grapes we drink, all the wine we drink, for the most part, the 99% of them, they're all European grapes, Vitis vinifera. And that all comes from Europe and the Mediterranean basin. There are some native grapes here. And so whoever planted this vine was a very smart person. They hybridized it with an American variety. And that is why it survived this long. And so it was very intentionally planted in this place, likely for religious reasons, to have sacramental wine. And it just, the fact that it survived has a lot to do with whoever this friar or this monk or this missionary was very good at botany. It was somebody who knew what they were doing.
And I would imagine that most of the workers who took care of the vine, who took care of most of the vineyards at that time, were Native American.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, there's a cemetery. There are several cemeteries there, but one right on the grounds. And the vines actually cover these ancient graves, and a lot of them are from Native Americans who were there. Correct. I would imagine that's the case.
Who has been caring for it?
The people who take care of it today are the people who preserve the mission themselves. And it has basically been, relatively since Prohibition, it has just been sort of cut back and trained to go through the top of the trellis that goes all the way through the mission. And for the most part, nobody's done anything with these grapes. And so now people are using the actual grapes that are growing to make a wine called Angelica, which is famous in Los Angeles. It gets its name from this place. And so it's actually being cared for by these Los Angeles winemakers.
Okay, so let's talk about these current winemakers who are making wine with local fruit grown in Los Angeles. It's such a wild idea. How did you meet them? Who are they?
Well, so I had heard there was a winemaker named Mark Blatty who was making wine that could rival the wines of Napa, the great wines of Northern California and Central California. And I sort of like, I have to say my first impression was, there's no chance. I mean, I've spent a decade all over the world, and I don't mean to sound smug here, but I didn't think that statement could be true. So I met Mark, and he first thing he did was he blind tasted me on a bunch of really, really, really expensive wines, and he hid his flagship Cabernet in this wine. And I picked it second out of wines that in many cases are $250 a bottle. I my head exploded. And so then we shot a documentary on Mark himself and what him and his wife are doing here. And a lot of the vines they make wine from are actually scattered. Some are ancient. Some go back 150 years. They exist in places like Agua Dulce. And then others are in the backyards of places like Bel Air. So wealthy people who had planted vines in the 60s or the 50s or 70s, in some cases, the silent film era, and they haven't done anything with them. And so Mark manages their vines, takes a little fruit for the effort, and makes wine out of it. And it's an incredible thing where he's been able to find dozens of scattered vineyards all across in some very wealthy areas in some cases. And he makes this wine that rivals some of the best wine I've had in California.
So it was these three groups, Angelino Wine Company, Blatty, and Cavalletti Vineyards, who formed a group called LA Vintners. How did they meet each other and decide to come together and make a wine from this ancient vine, which is called the Ramona vine?
Well, I think what happens is when you only have three or four people doing it, or groups of people, you're inevitably going to end up at the same bar having a cocktail. And so I think they sort of all came together, and when they visited the mission, somebody called Angelino Wine Company, Terry, the woman who manages the mission, and she said, we have this vine here. There are grapes on it. Would you guys like to come take a look? And so they came and took a look at it, and I think their jaw hit the floor. And so they said, what are you doing with the grapes? And she said, we just trim them and the birds eat them. Now, this is a 260, 70-year-old vine. And so they said, can we have them? And she said, yeah, will you help us take care of the vine? And so all of them kind of came together and said, we should do this together as a celebration for the resurgence of Los Angeles wine, of which they were sort of pioneering. They're the only ones really doing this outside of Malibu. And they got together, they started making this wine, and they decided to make it in the Angelino style, which is a fortified wine that dates back to, like I said, the Gold Rush.
Well, thank you so much. The documentary is really so engaging and eye-opening, especially if people have no idea of this history.
Oh, thank you so much. I was lucky to produce it. I appreciate it.
That was filmmaker Jason Wise, director of the documentary, The Oldest Vine.